luck.
Love Line is meant for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. Is that Dr. Drew? No, that's not Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is en route to the studio as we speak. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, if he were here, would be a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. And let me tell you what's going on tonight there, kiddies. It's actually a problem that is what we call twofold, or as you call, would call it cluster F. First off, Dr. Drew not here. Dr. Drew went to Kathy Griffin's Christmas party tonight, which I was supposed to attend, but I ended up having to shoot something over at Jimmy Kimmel Live for his Christmas thing and couldn't make it. But it was funny. I was thinking to myself, and that's the first part, Drew not here, hence the dancing I'm doing verbally right now. Soon, engineerist Michelle and I will break into the dreidel song. Yes, as a tip of the yarmulke to those who are celebrating the fourth day of lights here, Hanukkah, of course. But do you know the dreidel song?
I think so.
Really?
Even though I'm not Jewish.
Yeah. Could you do it in Spanish, you think?
No.
All right.
The only reason I know it is because I heard it on South Park.
All right. Well, hang tight.
Okay.
Hang tight. Sad that you're getting your news from South Park. All right. So, Drew went to Kathy Griffin's party. Now, I've noticed in past years at Kathy Griffin's party, it can take a little while to get the car with the valet. And these are the problems us millionaires have, kiddies. We have problems getting our expensive sports cars out of the valet. But it's tough when you got to do a radio show, because I know Drew, he probably cut out of the party about 9 o'clock, maybe 9:10, gave himself plenty of time to get over here. Kathy's place is probably 20, 25 minutes away from the studio, so he gave himself a nice pad. He went down there, and there was a line going around the block. So I'm sure he got his car late. He called here and said he was on his way. The good news is Drew drives like a maniac, which is really the only thing I like about the guy. And he's got himself a nice M5, so he's got plenty of horsepower to get him over here. Now, that's number one problem. He should be storming in any moment now. Number two problem is we have no calls. And yes, theoretically we have calls, but we have no way to field them. Although I could punch this thing and go blind and see where I went.
I can't believe that no one over there knows how to push a button and turn the thing
on.
Michelle forgot. I never knew.
Lauren just called me and asked me how to do it. It's like, how the hell would I know how to do it from over here?
That's a good point. Well, I'll tell you how, Anderson. We look at you as the smart one, which is absolutely frightening if you think about
it. It is. That's very scary. I'm the drunk one.
We count on Anderson, the guy with the drug problem, to bail us out of trouble. So Lauren, which makes her, it's why she's junior producer Lauren,
yay,
does not know how to fire up the screen. And look who just walked through the door, everyone.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Drew. Oh.
Where's Dr. Drew?
Now, Dr. Drew knows how to turn the computer on.
Oh, my effing
God. We will talk. Hold on. Let me just say one thing very quickly. Engineeress Michelle and especially junior producer Lauren, you not knowing how to turn this computer on this time around is a medium-sized faux pas. It's going to be egregious 3 months from now when this happens again and you don't know how to turn a computer on again. So make sure Drew, get a Sharpie and draw it on her right boob.
Okay.
All right. Now, Drew. Now, of course, I could learn how to turn it on as well, but
point well taken. Touche.
Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but still.
No, Tom Cruise uses a stuntman.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying?
It's not your job.
Yeah, he doesn't set up the camera and
job.
Do the clicker thing and film load the film canisters in. Yes, Drew?
Yes. Not your job.
No, I'm a big celebrity.
You're right.
All right, so Drew coming from Kathy Griffin's party.
Which
how
was
did that go?
Delightful.
All right.
Lovely. Her house, Adam. Her
beautiful house.
Have you seen this thing?
No, I've not seen.
Oh, my God.
Nice, huh?
huge.
Huge. Nice view.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And very Playboy Mansion-esque. Grottos
really?
And waterfalls.
Really?
And
really? Beautiful. Yeah.
Conservatively, 8 to 10 times the size of the house they were in before.
Wow.
Huge.
8 to 10.
Huge.
Wow. So you were...
So lots of room. You weren't crowded in like before.
Yes.
However...
Yes.
I came about 8:45.
The valet, right?
The valet. That's
right.
Up in the Hollywood Hills, you know,
right.
Streets
right.
Safe for half a vehicle, not two
right.
direction.
Right.
Got the usual fare at the valet, and I said, right. Miss, you know, senor, I have to be out of here in 3 minutes. I'm going to stay 10 minutes.
Mexican guy, not a French guy?
Jewish guy.
Oh, Jewish. Okay.
And I said, I'm going to be here 10 minutes, and when I come out, I got to know exactly how long it's going to take to get my car. Senor, you have your car in 3 minutes.
All right.
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
3 minutes? I have your work 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
What happened?
I came out at 9:05.
Mm-hmm.
I got in my car at 9:45.
Wow. Yeah.
And this is with me melting down.
Right.
Getting driven up and down the hills looking for my car.
They couldn't find your car.
The keys are gone. Somebody's out there going to retrieve it.
They
couldn't find the guy.
Couldn't find the guy with the keys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's happened in years past over there. Yeah. Yeah, he was doing, he was out at the Costco doing Brody's in the parking lot.
Oh,
your car,
and
no doubt about it.
And because we were going all through the streets where they park, I'm thinking, well, somebody just walked up and took the car.
Yeah.
In that with that horrible feeling, you think
mm-hmm.
it's
mm-hmm.
not going to come.
Right.
It's not coming.
Right. Well, what happened? The guy found the car.
I didn't have time. I didn't even talk. The traffic. I let people go by. I started about. Out of the way. Got to go.
All right. So, you made it.
Yeah, made it. Not 3 minutes.
About three, four minutes late.
We're shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Kicked my car.
Oh yeah. Drove like a maniac, right?
Oh.
Okay, but here's what I know from watching driving films. You don't get anywhere any faster by driving faster.
It was fruitless. Fruitless. Me passing those people at 87 miles an hour
nah.
in 35?
Yeah, no
waste
difference.
Of my time.
No difference at all. You would have arrived at exactly the same time had you obeyed all posted traffic markers and speed limits. It would exact no difference.
And by the way, my estimated time arrival when I called junior producer Lauren was about 10:10 to 10:15.
I know.
That's what I figured.
ETA was about 10 minutes late, 10, 15 minutes late.
I thought I was being conservative.
Yeah. Well, you drove like a maniac. Nice.
Yeah.
Because let me say something
blew out the carburetor.
Yeah. Your car doesn't have a carburetor, Drew.
Yes,
you do?
That much
you know that?
I knew
you
that.
You do. He knows. He knows he doesn't have a carburetor, everybody. Yeah.
Anyway, Kathy looks stunning.
Mm-hmm.
Her house was stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of festive types.
Was the gay army there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least representations.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
lots of people from the...
Reality TV.
Reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd you have?
So
anyone
like,
you recognize?
The girl from... The trainer from The Biggest Loser.
Right. Oh, you saw her?
Yeah.
Saw her. Okay. Anybody else?
It's hard to tell. I saw Nicole from MTV,
mm-hmm.
who was very kind and how much she missed us and wants to come back up.
Mm-hmm. Who's Nicole from MTV?
Mad TV.
Oh, Mad TV. Oh, Nicole.
Yeah.
Nicole Sullivan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And,
No. Mm. All right. But recognizable face.
Yeah, the face you recognize. Because you know how me. I don't afraid to go up and say anything because I probably met them 85 times.
Right. Andy Dick, was he there?
Didn't see him.
All right. Probably.
Oh, Ron Jeremy.
Dear,
more
dear
time
friend.
With Ron.
Sure.
Ron Jeremy, every time I meet him, he's with a female physician.
Oh, really?
Every time I run into him, it's sort of, you know, I ran into Seattle Airport one time.
Yeah, I think he just, that's, you know,
no,
that's
I talked
a,
to
that's
her.
An anima nurse.
No, she was an internist,
really?
Internal medicine resident. Yeah.
All right. All right, you ready to rock?
Yeah,
Drew?
Let's go. Let's get out of the show. Forget, leave it all behind. Let's
leave
go.
It all behind. Lauren?
Hi.
You're 23?
Yep.
What's up?
Basically, I'm calling because I'm coming up to my, like, 5-year anniversary with my boyfriend. He's 28.
Mm-hmm.
And... we used to have, like, a rock star sex life when we first got together for truly, like, 3 years. It was just amazing.
What does that mean?
I craved it all the time. And, I mean, I kind of, I don't know if it was just me or it was, like, my prime or what, but I was all over him. And we had, like, a wonderful, wonderful sex life and just things were always going great.
Yeah.
Basically, I moved up here to Chicago and...
From where?
I'm from Texas, from El Paso.
Ooh, El Paso.
Yeah. I've heard you talk about a rant about El Paso. But make a long story short, like, lately, the whole last year, there's really no sex life whatsoever, and I've gone to extremes of dressing up, and I mean, anything possible, and he does smoke a lot of weed. I didn't know if that, but he always did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we both work full-time, but I didn't know if that could be an issue or...
Why did you guys move to Chicago?
Initially, for me, it's graduate school, and then he does have family up here. It was kind of a change, some more opportunity.
Ooh, he's
what?
Not
freaked out?
Feeling him. You know, he's languishing. He's not doing anything.
Oh, really?
He's got to get his mojo back.
You moved up. Definitely feel that way.
Yeah.
You moved up there for you, really.
Well, no, I'm just hanging out for him.
You move up there for him, but you're going to graduate school.
He's just hanging out.
Initially, I was going to go to graduate school in Texas, and he wanted to move back up here, and so there's more opportunity. We can start our lives. And
yeah, but here's how I put this together.
Okay.
He's languishing. He's not getting on with his life. His identity, which is very important for men, is sort of languishing, not getting anywhere. And, of course, he's smoking more pot, getting more depressed, and less able to actualize these things because he's so strung out on the pot.
Mm-hmm.
The pot is the greatest way to put brain. The number one complaint, I have two complaints from every single marijuana addict I treat. One, can't find my car keys.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. And number two, can't finish my resume. Can never get my resume done.
Well, you couldn't even find your whole car, Drew.
I mean, he
so what about
that?
I was trying to heroin.
You must have been high on peyote.
Yeah.
I mean, they say they know where the car is. It's in the driveway.
So it wasn't mine up being able to find it.
Whatever, buddy. Excuses are like a-holes. Everyone has one, and they all stink.
He is motivated,
Yeah, but still. He's motivated?
I mean, in different ways, but, like, I feel like in our relationship, like, I want to get married, and, like, we do love each other and have been through a lot of stuff together, but...
What does that mean? What do you mean, a lot of
problems, lots of up and downs, lots of normal...
What? Well, I thought everything was perfect. Where's the ups and downs? What happened?
Just normal fights, like, that normal couples have, but we've had... I mean, there's been some issues of trust. I mean, nothing significant. Like, he's never... cheated, and I've never cheated.
All right. Slow down there, Connie. look, you guys have been together for how long?
5 years.
5 years. Hold on. Let me convene.
From 18 to 23. How old is he?
Huh? Yeah.
It's going to be the same.
They're probably the same age.
Too long.
First off, that whole first year, first 6 months, or first whatever part you guys are getting it on. Oh, it's like a ferret's on a double cappuccino. We never stopped humping. Okay. If I had a nickel for every one of those stories, you know what I mean?
That you've heard or that you've participated?
Everything.
No.
I know. That you can't hold that as any kind of marker. And that it's unrealistic. Everyone does that. And then it settles into some rhythm.
Yeah.
Now... She said they've been together for 5 years. The first year was rock star sex. Last
they were 18, by the way, at that time.
It's curtailed.
Well, boyfriend 18, who's unleashing his passion.
Oh, true. You could flood a small village with your passion at 18, yes?
Yeah.
People screaming, taking to the streets. Livestock.
Pompeii. People left behind.
Frozen.
Crusted.
Frozen in time.
In what?
In Drew's
in
passion.
What? In time?
In crystallized nougaty time. Yes. Frozen, like the lost civilization of Pompeii. Lauren?
Yes. My main concern is it going to get worse? Are we going to, like, get married? I mean, does it get worse? I don't understand.
Yes, if you don't, there's something wrong. There's something wrong, and this is a sign that something's wrong. It's a symptom. Now, whether it's his marijuana or his lack of ability to get a career going or that this relationship has just run its course, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And you guys need to figure out what that is if this relationship is going to survive, which maybe it shouldn't.
On the other hand, maybe it ran its course.
Right. Maybe it shouldn't survive.
Is there any way that, like, I'm just getting my own hopes up because I really do want to be with him? I moved up here for him, and like, I do want to get married and things like that.
How old is he?
He's 28.
Ooh. Uh-oh.
Yeah,
and, like, that's what worries me. All of our friends are married and pregnant and home.
Well, and by the way, why isn't he on in his life a bit? It's the pot. Lauren, who are you kidding?
He has a great job. I just wonder about, like, why. I mean, there's no way you can be too tired when it's, you know, in the middle of the day and things of that nature. Like, I just don't understand. Like,
right,
I think I'm pretty attractive. And
He has a good job.
What's his job?
He's an engineer for Comcast up here, which is, like, the cable company, things of that nature.
Engineer? What does that mean?
He does like different things with like AutoCAD, and I don't know.
He's got a good gig. All right, I suggest I would focus on the weed. I would say that a guy, now Drew, I'm sure you'll jump in here, but the guy, he's been smoking weed for the 5 years you've known him, by the way. He didn't start smoking weed at 23, probably started at 17, maybe 15. He's probably coming on 10 years of solid weed, and he's bottoming out. He's getting depressed. Now, it's not working for him anymore.
It may not be a depression. They just the winds are out of their sail. They can't.
Well, whatever you want to call it, I don't got a boner for my girlfriend. I'm tired. I'm lethargic. I call that depression.
It's a form of it, absolutely. And or... You need to get him to be very clear and honest about this relationship and what his intentions are. And don't be all over him like, when are we out of the lake? He's going to freak out about that and retreat even more. Just, hey, where are we going? What are your plans? Let's figure this out.
Right. All right. Let's keep on keeping on. Got to say this first before we keep on keeping on. I was thinking about this. I know you'd want to say. We got the big K-Rock Acoustic Christmas coming up this weekend. It is Saturday and Sunday. Well, one of the bigger rock events of the in the nation and in the world, for that matter,
it is,
I would say.
Yeah.
Bigger and better than just about any other place in town. And people want tickets. And
oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. This
just because we work for the radio station.
It's been happening every year now. Now, people want tickets, and tickets are very hard to come by. And they're very expensive.
I heard people getting like $3,000 a ticket out there.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, rumor has it.
That's plan B for the Ace Man. The point is everyone wants a ticket.
Yeah.
And.
Well, let me read your mind here. And you work for a radio station, Adam. And you've been at that station for a long time. So
Yes.
They must hand you just fistfuls of tickets. Just free tickets.
Right.
Just passes and tickets and passes and tickets.
Right.
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
They gave you two tickets.
I had to threaten to quit when we wanted milk. Remember that?
Right. For our coffee.
A quart of milk a week seemed... Oh, your highness wants milk. How extravagant. Mm-hmm. Whoa, talk about it. It's like a rock star's rider for how the dressing room should be. I want all the pimento picked out of the loaf.
It's not even so much that the reality is so beneath where it should be. It's just people's perception of where it ought to be is way off.
So now here's the problem. The ticket prices keep inching up every year.
Yeah.
Now they're like $65 a pop.
Yep.
Everyone and their mother wants one. I found out that it was going to be, $700 or $655 or something like that for a handful of tickets that I wanted for, what I thought was both nights. As it turns out, both nights is more $1,300 and something. Everyone's got a good reason why you shouldn't charge them. And what the hell do you do? I mean, you have to eat it, right? But, I mean, it's one thing to shell out $175 or something for your friends or, associates. When it's getting toward a used truck at this point.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do?
I know.
No? What do you do?
I don't know.
Drew, you're cheap. What do you do? You charge.
Well, I make people pay that are not close friends, but I give them to some people, too.
Yeah. And then the people that are going to pay you, it's always weird. It's what? Oh, no. Oh, I thought, I brought
and
this.
And somewhere, you know they're thinking, he didn't pay for these. You know they're thinking that.
Yeah. Well, look at me. I got not only he works for the station, he didn't pay for these. I also have the me screaming, I'm literally a millionaire on the air every single night. So between whether he paid for them or not. He's literally a millionaire who got the tickets for free.
And he's ripping me off for $65 a pop.
Yeah. People do that to us all the time. Like, oh, come on. They must give you whatever you want to know.
No.
Look, I tried to get out of here with a bumper sticker once. I was tackled at the door. I had a keychain just to make it out to my car.
You still haven't retrieved that, have you? I heard it got hooked up there.
It's been a while,
You forgot about it.
Well, had all the janitor's keys on. I think that was the problem. I should have taken it off janitor's key ring. The problem is now we're literally, I brought my checkbook tonight. We're literally at $1,300 and something. My hand is going to start shaking as I make this checkout. And most of them are like, what the hell you do? This is friends of the friends. They did this, they did that all year. What do you do?
I'm amazed you got so many tickets. Think about that. I mean, Amy came through for you.
Yeah, she did. She did, but now I'm angry because I have to pay for them. Drew, I blame you. You got us too many tickets. Now I have to pay for them. All right, let's keep on
begged and begged.
All right, here's the best case scenario. I get back like 30 cents on the dollar.
Oh, yes.
That's best case scenario.
That's a third of them paid for.
That's best case scenario. So,
Well, don't worry. People won't want any of those high-grade backstage passes when you get to the
that's
arena.
The all the people. Okay, so the $1,365 check I'm going to write tonight, I should recoup
$300
out of that. All right. That's going to be great. Hey, folks, not literally going to be a millionaire at this rate, by the way.
Not the way it's going.
I didn't get to be a millionaire by handing out money. Miriam?
Oh, wow, I got through.
You're 20.
Yeah.
What's up?
I pretty much, well, can I tell you what happened in my past? Because it reflects upon how I pretty much choose how
Let's see how you make us feel.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're used to prying that out of people who don't want to go along on that ride with
Abandonment, sexual abuse.
My father died when I was 3.
Yeah, ooh, that's abandonment.
Yeah, and pretty much what I said to myself at age 3 was, and this all reflects how I treat men, I think, is I said to myself, before I went into his room, I said, pretend everything's okay. I said this at age 3, which I still can't believe I did. Mm-hmm. I said, pretend everything's okay, depend on yourself from now on, and don't tell anybody what you're feeling. And then I went to his room. Yeah.
Don't tell anybody what you're feeling. Wow, at 3.
Who, your dad told you that?
No, she told herself that as she went in the room to see him dying.
Yeah.
No.
And that's always been with me.
What'd he die of?
He smoked a pack a day, and then it went. He had pneumonia. I did a research about this actually.
So he got lung cancer, basically, emphysema.
Yeah, lung cancer, and then it went to his brain. So all three of them.
Yeah. Emphysema, lung cancer, pneumonia.
Oh! That meant all three lungs or brains.
Pneumonia, lung cancer, and then brain cancer.
He was 35, 40.
I'm not too sure. I think about middle of.
So now, Miriam, you can't be around good guys. You have to be around bad guys because you.
Hold on a second.
She hasn't sweat the details. Don't worry.
No, but he was middle 30s. Yeah. That doesn't make sense, does it?
Some people will get lung cancer early. Yeah, it's sort of an accelerated version.
Miriam?
Yeah.
All right. So the guy died at like 35?
Pretty much. I don't really remember. I mean, his subject has never really come up in my family. But it gets worse after this.
He what?
It gets worse after that. My then my mother remarried an asshole.
This is where the sexual abuse comes in.
Uh-huh.
No sexual abuse, actually. More really? Mental abuse, emotional abuse. You know, when I was 6, she got married, and he treated me like... He made me...
Miriam...
Baby, with the S word.
Yes, bomb.
I have to say to people all the time, how often do you hear the S word, or the F word for that matter, on the radio?
Well, it's getting a little bit moot for you to say that, because you and I hear it every night.
Well, that's true. We do. and they're like, well, you're talking about finger blasting. I know. It seems egregious, and it doesn't seem fair. But still, how often do you hear the S word?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Cannot use the S word, everybody.
And I like the way our callers sort of they relish it too. They don't let it slip. They put a punch behind it.
Yeah, they hit it.
Treated
hit
me it hard. Like yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's big. It's bold. Mm-hmm. It's powerful. All right, hold on.
And then they go right past after punching it. And so anyway.
Yeah, I should take it as a compliment though, because it means that they're like really comfortable talking.
Yeah, I do in a certain way.
Yeah. No, it is. They're comfortable, and we should take it as a compliment. That's why I tell the ladies when I start breaking gas around them, I'm blowing gas because I'm feeling relaxed.
Yeah, you feel.
I feel like you're not even here, or if you are, you're maybe a pet or a plane.
You're right, this is the way you behave around your dog.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And by the way, as I get more comfortable, the ass will get closer to your head.
Okay.
All right. We will we'll take a quick break. Yeah, Miriam and, we got a nice enema question coming up. All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, yo. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Sum 41 in here next week. The Donnas, Papa Roach. Big musical week next week. And popped a zit on my back today, Drew.
Oh, congratulations.
Pow.
Did you drop something into it or did you squeeze?
Yes, I dropped a lance into it. Yeah. I pinned it and that baby
just blew.
And it hit the mirror.
Nice.
Like it was fired out of a cannon. You know, they test the impellers on jet engines by firing birds at them. That's a tough gig
what?
For a bird. Yeah, fire birds out of a cannon at them.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of this. Well, why?
Well, how do you think... All right, you gotta... Then we're getting back to my zit.
Okay, yeah.
That's the velocity it hit the mirror with, by the way. Just pow. Awesome.
Yeah.
Nothing better. You never outgrow that.
I want to hear more about the bird going through the jet propeller.
Well, if you're building jet engines for commercial aircraft or military or any application, they got to be able to handle a seagull
getting
sucked into them.
Yeah.
And they got to be able to handle that seagull sometimes
going
at
fast.
400 or 500 miles an hour.
Oh, I see.
And the only way to really know if that jet impeller
is going to... Are they live seagulls?
No, they're already dead. Yeah, they're live. Yeah. They're live, and their families are there to watch. Okay, they bring their families there. Yeah.
Well, what?
Yeah, they fly. They bring the families in, and they force them to watch.
Right.
And it's
and
a sort
they
of
fire
a,
more than one.
It's a Sophie's choice
what,
kind
what
of thing.
What if you go into a flock of them?
They'll take the parents of the seagull. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they have a machine gun that can fire birds. I think actually they do. I don't think they freeze them either. They will do. They'll do frozen things too. But they take these birds, they put them in a cannon, and they fire them into jet engines.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, tough gig for the cleanup crew.
Yeah,
you know it'd be nice.
Not to mention the bird.
You know it'd be great. I'd love just to get one of these nut jobs like Betty White or one of these PETA retards or something like that. Just force them to sit down and watch this. All right, load up the next seagull. There we go. Fire. It's just a cloud of feathers. But I guess, you can't take a piece of styrofoam and put, stick feathers to it.
No, it's got to withstand, and I imagine a few of them at once, right?
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Yeah. They fire birds at the thing. But as far as a bird goes, you're going to be killed. You're gonna be eaten. Oh, no, wait a minute. Over in this line.
Yeah.
It's got to be like, oh, my God. What could be worse than being killed and being devoured on Thanksgiving or something?
Oh.
You're going in.
Here it is.
You're going in the DC-10. Yeah. That is a bad gig. But a weird and bizarre job forever has to administer it or has to load up that cannon.
Wow. Awesome. Who is that guy? I want to talk to him.
Decent gig. And then you just got to hate birds. Yeah. And then you know, the other cool gig is the guy, the falconer, down at the airport.
Guy's
a falcon. Go fly those birds off with a falcon.
They routinely do that?
Yeah. A lot of airports have falcons.
Really? And
yeah.
They just keep the place?
Well, if you think about all these airports... Half of them are just, you know, on the edge of the water.
Oh, I was wondering why the seagulls didn't get sucked in more often.
And it's just tons of, aquatic birds. And a lot of it, you know, I don't know, New York, New Jersey, where it's like marshland and stuff.
Yeah,
it's tons of wildlife. You don't do it in the middle of the city oftentimes.
Right.
There's tons of birds.
Huh.
They get a falcon, just go run them off.
Just one falcon will do it? They have a whole bunch of them.
No, it's not. Yeah, and then they form the shape of an arrow, or no, bee, and they sting. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's one falcon.
A big guy with a hammer.
How badass are falcons? They just let them go in one area and the birds all go away.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Birds are mean, Drew.
I believe that birds have an intuitive sense that exceeds anything we sort of understand.
I mean, think about it. Super stupid and angry.
They're not intellectually smart, but
they're not book smart.
But you can fly, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 feet up in the air and spot a field mouse and grab it.
Yeah,
really?
That's what the falcon can do. I don't know. Good eyesight. How about the part where you just fly 3,000 miles?
Yeah, you know to do that.
Yeah, I'm ignoring Anderson.
Yeah, I know. And Anderson, you know what that does, don't you?
Yeah, you just got another 40 minutes of bird talk.
Actually, you know what? We have a visitor in here tonight. And I was just explaining that it would have the reverse effect, and I was just proving my point.
Uh-huh.
Well, well done, Anderson. Well, having said that now, let's get
going
to the
right
call.
To the phone, smartass. Uh-huh. Thought you could outsmart the ace man. Let me tell you something, Anderson. I'm the cannon. You're the bird. And Drew's the impeller. You understand what that relationship's like? Only two are going to survive.
You're firing me into Drew?
Yes, I'm firing you into Drew. Hmm. Miriam?
Yeah.
Okay. What's up?
So, Miriam had dad died at 3, stepdad.
That's right.
Now she can't be around real good guys because that exposes her to the possibility of being vulnerable, getting attached to somebody and losing them again.
And no more cussing, Weisenheimer.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, and your stepdad was abusive?
Yeah, he would make me feel bad living with him. For example, I used his hairbrush in the shower, and he just yelled at me, screaming, saying, oh, you can't use my hairbrush. Illogical reasons.
By the way, I'd love to replay that moment. Hey, honey, don't do that.
Right.
Yeah. Screamed at me, yelled at me.
Yeah.
I hate my stepdad.
All right, and your mom, now, your mom, how is she?
Well, she kind of denies the fact that he did any of that because she lives with him, and now I don't. I left. And
all right. Be that as it may, you experienced this all as abuse. You now have trouble in relationships, and that's how that works. But as you pointed out earlier, it all harkens back to you being unable to connect with any feelings. You put them away.
Right.
You dissociate from them. You swallow them down, and off you go.
Mm-hmm.
So how about hooking things back up again? What do you think?
I'm sorry?
How about hooking back up with your feelings? Get a little therapy and sort this stuff out so you can be more flexible with your relationships.
Yeah. I think what I do is I hook up with guys, and I don't really get personal with them. I just kind of get sexual with them, but I don't go all the way with them. Mm. And then I just wouldn't call them, or they would be calling me, and I would just ignore them.
Well, yeah. All right. We get it.
Well, now I know what you're doing, so let's start working on it.
Yeah, we could just say, okay, go ahead and stop, which, of course, you won't do.
No.
But you can start working on the reasons that you're doing that. That mm-hmm. takes some time. And go ahead, or not. Or go ahead and just have endless line of meaningless, disconnected relationships with unavailable bad guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's satisfying in some way, being in control of all that. Yeah, but not a great way to go through life.
All right. Let's talk to Nate, who's 17. Nate?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much. How's it going?
It was going fine, Nate. It was.
Okay.
That's it?
Just do it!
Sorry. Is anal douching safe?
Is it what?
Is it safe?
Anal douching, Drew.
Yeah.
Meaning if you take a female douche product and put it in the tukai?
I guess so.
Or do you mean having an enema?
Either one.
Nate, what do you...
That's such a finely crafted question. I'm guessing you're in some sort of advanced placement program at your high school.
Germany or Florida.
That's really him.
What?
Nate, we understand this is a bogus call. I don't understand why you can't focus it at all.
It's not a bogus call.
What's your plan? What's your plan? What do you want to do?
What do I want to do?
Why are you asking this question, say?
Anal sex.
You want to have anal sex. Are you gay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want to sort of clean things out beforehand?
Yeah.
Are you a trauma survivor?
I wouldn't say so.
You weren't sexually abused growing up?
I don't believe so.
Don't believe so.
All right.
Okay.
Something's up with him.
He's got that sound.
Angry?
No, just...
just broken. Kinda. Nate, seriously.
You were Florida.
Yeah, I'm serious about it.
No, I know. But what are you, in high school?
Yeah.
And you're gay?
Yes.
And nothing made you gay. That's just how you came out.
No trauma.
Yes.
Yes, there was trauma.
No, there was no trauma.
Okay.
All right.
You're just thinking about these things, trying to prepare yourself, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I think.
Yes, Drew.
I don't.
I would want.
An enema sounds like a good idea.
An enema sounds strong. Yeah. And do gay guys do this?
I don't know, but I imagine some do. And it'd be interesting. We'd like hear from our brethren to see what happens.
Let me tell you, enema not enough for the Ace Man if he's going back door.
What do you want?
I want a bottle brush.
Shop vac.
Shop vac. Wet dry vac. bottle brush, loofah on the end of a mop handle.
And then you're good.
I want to be able to eat off that rectum. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want that thing. Now, I want, by the way, it scrubbed like it's a surgical instrument.
All that scrubbing and sterilizing won't do anything for the HIV and the hepatitis and all that good stuff. So, in fact, it might make it worse because you'll irritate the rectum. So if you have something to give your partner, mm-hmm. you're more likely to pass it on.
Mm-hmm. There has to be a trick of the cornholing trade.
Condoms.
I understand
that. Oh, you mean
it's
in the preparation?
There just has to be.
Yeah, there must be a prep.
We've never really sat down, pardon the pun, and thought about it.
So tonight's the night.
But here's then the question. If you're heading out, and you're heading out for a good night of anal debauchery, what do you do? You evacuate before you hit the bar. Then what?
A little enema, I guess.
A little enema, but then there's going to be another log coming down the flume.
Not too long. Well, yeah, you're.
You got a window there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're going to have a brownout soon.
Well, if you're using the Fleet's enema, which just clear out the base, the ampulla, that's one thing. But if you give a tap water enema, a high enema.
Oh, high enema.
Clean things out for a while, but you don't want to.
Now the Fleet one's a low enema.
It's just the Where's my picture? Here we go. I'll show you.
Yeah. Okay. So one enema is just basically
the bottom stuff.
Yeah. That's just an oil change. That's not a full lube and oil and rotating the tires.
It's not taking the pan off and dropping the whole thing.
Not dropping the pan. True. Knows what a pan is, everybody.
Here you go. Check this out.
All right. Drew's got his picture.
This is the Fleets.
The Fleet.
High enema is going all the way up to here.
All the way up.
All that's coming down.
All the way up. All this bow.
Yeah.
How long is that? 2 feet?
Yeah, 2.5, 3 feet.
And why? How is the high enema getting up that high? It's got pressure?
Pressure is water. The Fleet's just go and just squirts up, gets some of this, but mostly comes right back down.
Right. And the water pressure, how do you regulate the water pressure one?
How high the bag is.
Oh, really?
It's gravity.
Really? So what if I'm, it just hang it on the top of the door?
Yeah.
What's that get me?
That'll get you through most of this.
Uh-huh. But also how high my ass is, because I like to stick my ass up.
Yeah, if your ass is on the second floor and the bag's on the door on the first floor,
I'll go ahead and stand on a stool and put my ass up toward Mecca.
I know you like that.
So you put the douchebag up. I swear I saw one of those swinging on my grandma's door once, almost vomited.
That's nice.
Please, everyone, have the decency. Old people, please. Have the common decency to take the douchebag off the door. Especially
enema bag, please.
You got a house with one bathroom. See, the Corollas, we had a choice between one bathroom and half a bathroom. Like, there was never a full bathroom. There's just one small bathroom in every house I ever grew up with, which is fine until you find grandma's personal lubricant. You know what I'm saying? You don't realize, really, what you got in your bathroom as an adult that you don't need the kids getting into. And when you only have one bathroom, it's a disaster.
Look at this. Look at line six.
Dan works for an airplane. Huh? Does testing with birds and engines.
After the break.
Oh!
Yes. Yes. It's awesome. Our listeners.
Finally, my
as much
kind
abuse
of show.
As you levy at our, put down for our listeners. We have good listeners.
It's going to be disappointing.
Come on. They come it through is. For us all the time.
All right. Let me just check something. But Dan.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You know what would be huge is if not only you knew about the birds being fired into the jet engines, but you had some information on gay douching.
I can't help you guys with that.
All right. And wouldn't it be ironic if they use the same cannon?
Ironic, yes.
Okay. All right, we're going to get back. We're going to talk about firing birds into jet engines because that's what Loveline's about.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, we'd like some answers on the douching with the anal as the gays go.
Mm-hmm.
Do you clean yourself out?
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for? And is there a sect of the gay community that doesn't want the...
The clean.
Doesn't want the tape.
And by the way, this could catch on. I mean, you're going to be a considerate heterosexual partner a la Corolla.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I were going to have sex with you, if I were a woman.
What do you mean if?
Well,
you mean later.
If I were 100% chick and not half chick.
You mean next time we play at college.
I want that S cleaned out.
You want everything cleaned out?
I want out. That's a dangerous area with you.
I keep my junk, I sleep with it in that blue barber liquid. Did you see at the barber shop?
The barber site.
I will sleep with a sack of that on my junk.
Yeah, but that doesn't take care of what's behind.
I will actually have underpants that are more fish tank than they are underpants. I will fill it with that. and walk around an entire day that way.
Getting better.
All right?
Better. That's good.
It's more of a, it's like a parts dip.
Mm, nice.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. Buddies call me Ace. Actually, I forced him to call me Ace. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Sum 41, The Donnas, Papa Roach, all in here next week. And now, as promised, we're going to head back to the phones and speak to Dan. As I was speaking of earlier in the evening, they test jet engines by firing birds out of a cannon into the impeller and propeller blades to see if they break off because, you know, birds get sucked up into jets, and they got to make sure they can take it. Dan does something involving that. Dan?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Not a whole lot. How about you?
Now, where do you work? What do you do?
I work for kind of like an internship for Northrop Grumman.
Mm-hmm. And nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go get her.
Yeah.
And a lot of the engines that they use on most of their aircraft are made by Pratt & Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little test facility up here in Azusa.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen them, like, do it a whole bunch of times. And I've never seen them do it with propeller engines, but they do it with jet engines a lot.
Oh.
Adam, for jet engines.
Jet engines, okay.
Shocking.
It's pretty messy. It's not a cannon, but they do have the, like, the big wind tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, like, a high-speed fan blowing this air.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just, like, chuck a bird in there. They're usually frozen. Sometimes they're not.
Yeah, they're usually frozen, which seems weird because the birds flying into it aren't frozen.
Yeah, why not use another substance?
More dense, you know?
Why not just use ice?
Yeah, that's which is a good point, and why I'd be pissed if I was the bird, which is, yeah, if you're going to use a frozen bird, now it seems like you just go buy frozen chicken,
or
by
frozen
the way, and
steak or something.
Fire
yeah.
it into it.
Yeah,
yeah because... once you take, well, what's water when it's not frozen going to do to a jet engine?
Right.
And what's it going to do when it's frozen?
That's
it's a totally
right.
different
That's
substance.
Right. Totally different bird.
Yes, yes. All right, yeah. So you haven't seen them. You say they chuck it in there. How do they chuck it in there?
No, just drop it in. The wind takes it.
I know.
Yeah, it's like one of those laundry chutes, you know? Like
right.
a big metal door, they pull it down, they
right,
drop it,
right.
they lock it, and they check it.
Right. But they do have a cannon that fires it into it, too.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got a cannon.
Okay, bud. All right. So you've
but
seen...
Adam, not just propeller engines.
Not just propeller
yeah,
engines.
Yeah.
Hey, you've seen it done.
I sure have.
And they're...
Not pretty.
And what kind of birds do they use?
Depending on, like, the type of motor, like, if it's a real high-altitude engine... They're
mm-hmm.
not gonna. They don't usually do that test, but like
mm-hmm.
lower, like for like Lear jets and stuff,
mm-hmm.
they use like area specific or altitude specific
birds?
Fowl.
Wow.
Yeah. Like just the ones you're gonna encounter. But here's the thing: I don't understand. Is every one of them's got to take off?
You got to go through the altitudes to get to the high
yeah,
altitude.
It's like
yeah.
it's not like the X-1. It gets launched from
yeah.
a B-52. I mean, you got to get up there, right?
Yeah. Like it's a pretty weird system because it's pretty elaborate how they do it. They don't just like chuck birds in there either. Like they have these real like finely engineered like shards of I don't know what it is.
Oh,
but designed to, like,
all right,
spin.
Boy. All right, Dan. Good luck with that internship. All right, that was something.
Yeah.
I told you it was going to be disappointing.
It was
a little something there.
Yeah, it was something.
Something there.
Got the chute and the bird going down the chute and the wind tunnel. And
yeah.
Specifics.
But the chute's less exciting than the cannon.
I know. The cannon's a little more vivid.
Yeah. yeah. And it was funny. I was thinking, I probably said they, I think they're frozen, but I'm not sure. But it turns out they are frozen.
Which is weird. Where'd you hear about it? Read about it. Well, you just
read
about
it.
Where'd you hear about it?
Read about it. How dare you?
Yeah, I know. It's
you,
way
you,
off.
But first off, I don't want to lose my street cred with the kids, making them think I'm looking at words. What's that place where they keep the books again?
Library.
Library. Man, doesn't even have the word book in it, Michelle. Doesn't that seem weird?
Not in English.
How are you supposed to know what it is if it don't have the word book in it, but they keep, it's at like a big house where all the books are kept. And can you believe that people go there? And here's the kicker. I don't know if you've heard of this or not, Michelle. People, you know why people go there? They go there to borrow the books. yeah, let me borrow your book. Hello, nerding. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Take it back.
This is before the internet, monsieur.
I'm going to borrow a book. What do you need with a book? That's what I'm saying.
Where'd you hear about the birds and the jet and the propeller?
That livery place you're talking about, that's a place you would put so... you would punish me. That's how you do it. You take me to that liberator and you, whatever you call it, dude, and that would be punishment. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Okay. You just watch, you know, you watch the History Channel. You get drunk every night.
Modern Marvel, something like that. Right?
Yeah. Drew, I was kidding when I couldn't pronounce library.
I know. I wasn't kidding.
That's what I'm saying. Shannon?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yes, I'm 18.
All right, hold on. Hold on, baby cakes. We got to take a quick break.
We'll set up a question.
Waxes.
Okay. Wakes up.
Oh. It does seem that way.
I was kidding when I was mispronouncing modern. Right.
But really, it's pretty damn close to an X there, isn't it?
Yeah,
if you think about
true.
It. Wakes up in the middle of the night having sex with boyfriend. How? Why? Want to know if this is normal? We'll tell you, sweetie, after this. Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Get it on.
Get it on. Gotta get it on. Don't know how to do anything else but to get it on. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Get it on. Freak out. Get it on. It's phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. That's the Drewster over there. I'm the Ace Meister. You, confused teens. All right. Ready to keep on going here, Drew?
Keep on keeping on.
Speaking to Shannon. Over here. Shannon.
Hello.
Shannon,
hi.
You're 18.
Yes.
You are perky.
Oh, thank you.
You ever heard that Shannon song?
No, what is it?
It's a guy singing about Shannon. It's like a slow song, and a guy singing in a high voice. They sing about Shannon has drifted off to sea.
Uh-huh. Now,
have you ever heard that song?
No.
Anyway.
Talk to Drew for a second. Always amazed at people that don't know the song of their name.
I know.
It's like, oh, well, that song's 25 years old and I'm 18. I know. But if there was a song out there called Adam, 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 Adam.
Do you remember the theme song from Adam Ant?
Up in Adam, Adam Ant.
See?
There's two things that confuse me. The one is the person doesn't know the song with their name in it. And then the other one... the person doesn't know what their name means, although it means something because it's an unusual name.
Do you know what yours
means? Adam? No, but I mean, no.
That's some interesting meanings.
All right, I don't bug guys named Jeff.
It means man.
Yeah.
And clay, like dirt.
All right.
I mean, like earth of the earth.
All right, Weisenheimer.
You don't know what your name means?
No.
That always amazes me when people know what their name means, but it's something very interesting and has wild biblical and important historical references.
No, I'm talking about these American Indian names and these foreign names and these names that the parent went out of the way. And everyone must ask them every 10 seconds, what's that name mean? See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what Drew means? Wise ass.
Weisenheimer.
Weisenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know it means man. Come on, man.
Sure.
Thanks, Brandy.
Go ahead, Shannon.
Hi.
All right. Go ahead.
Sorry. Boyfriend and I are having a fight. I don't really care anymore.
All right.
What?
They're having a fight.
Right now on the phone?
Well, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about me at all. Sorry. What? Anyways, my question is,
slow down here, honey. What just happened?
He doesn't care.
What do you mean he
doesn't
care?
I'm on the phone waiting for an hour with you guys, and he's waiting with me. He's waiting. He cares. And then all of a sudden, when I get on the radio, he gets on the phone and then calls me a bitch.
Wow. This is drama. By the way, you've been on hold for 23 minutes, so you do exaggerate.
It was before I called back. It was an hour.
Okay. All right. How old is your boyfriend?
18.
Wait, 18. You guys are living together?
Yeah.
It's kind of premature, don't you think?
Yeah.
What are you guys running away from that you have to live together?
What?
What are you running away from? Why do you have to live with your boyfriend at 18? What happened?
I don't know.
Well, what's going on with your family?
Well, a single parent house. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to school, and I just,
I thought it was nothing hard.
Mm-hmm. And you thought what, Shannon? I couldn't hear that.
I said, and I thought I loved him at the time. But apparently he doesn't love me. I don't know.
All right. Just because he got on the phone and gets a little irritable doesn't mean he doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
No, but that's not the first time he's done something like that.
Like, give us another example.
I guess there's a lot that I would like to ask you, but I can't.
Go ahead.
All right, keep going.
Go ahead. We're listening.
I don't know. It's just, like, he doesn't seem to care. Like, he treats me like I'm nothing, and he makes fun of me with my friends. And
all right,
give
hold
us
on.
A, wait, give us an example of how he makes fun.
Oh, please.
Just so we see how bad he is.
Well, he calls me a bitch over and over and over, like, a lot.
All right.
Yeah, that's not okay.
But makes fun of me, tells me I'm fat when I weigh like 110 pounds.
But is he being ironic, and is he sort of being facetious?
Yeah.
I don't know. He doesn't mean any of it. He says he never means any of it.
Okay.
It seems like he does, you know, because he continues to say
All right.
All right. So Shannon.
Yeah.
First off, could you go back into the cave and get off the top of the mountain?
I think she's skiing.
Where are you?
I'm walking outside my apartment.
Is it windy outside?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No. I need you to
get behind a building or something.
Take shelter, would you?
Yeah.
Go in the car or something. Okay, that's better.
There we go.
Okay. All right. Hold on, baby. I wish I was there to hold you. Yeah.
Me too.
I do. I give you a nice big fat hug. I give you a bear-sized hug.
Okay. Yeah.
Whoa.
Stay in the shelter there.
We need you to get back in the shelter.
I know. I'm working on it. I wasn't really in shelter.
Okay, get to the shelter. Okay, let's try to sort out this mess. First off, your dad abandoned the family.
No, I shouldn't have never. I'm sorry. It was a mistake to call you.
Wait a minute now.
Why was that a mistake?
Because I wanted to know about waking up having sex.
All right. Well, let's answer that first. Let's answer that first. That does happen a lot. It's been described out there. I've not seen any good descriptions of why it occurs. In my experience, when I have patients that do that kind of thing, they tend to be trauma survivors.
Mm.
Both the couple, like both the boyfriend and the girlfriend, tend to be trauma survivors.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that much.
And it doesn't mean that much.
All right, so now that we're past that.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to know.
I know, that's all you wanted to know. That's not all we wanted to know.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go. I shouldn't have brought any of that into it. Will you please not put that on the radio if I am?
Which part don't you want on the radio?
All of it. Pretty much, yeah. It was a mistake.
All right, so
I just
cut
it all out. It's done.
We should delete which part? The whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you can go back to your crappy relationship and we'll pretend this never happened?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, well.
It's not a great way to go through life.
Why do you want to go through life that way? So close to
because
the holidays, too.
Well, Shannon, here's the deal. Build yourself some support. Lots of supportive friends, people that are not involved in the drama and the
chaos. Like a shelter, like a lean-to.
Yeah, not people involved in chaos and drama in your life, people that you can go to reliably who care about you. Build that up so you can get some strength and take a look at this relationship objectively. It sounds like you're kind of stuck in it right now.
You need to not get pregnant.
And by the way, this guy may not be as bad a guy as you're painting it right now. I know right now it's all negative the way you're feeling. But the fact is, I bet you go through periods where you idealize them, too, and everything is wonderful.
Yeah.
So you're having a bad moment, and that's fine. Kind of sit down, calm down, take a good look at reality. But do build a supportive network of friends so you can begin to step away from this and look at it more objectively, okay? And the middle-of-the-night stuff is just a sign that both you guys
are. Yeah, but you're going to get pregnant if you're doing that middle-of-the-night crap.
You're on the pill?
No.
You're not on the pill, are you?
No.
All right, listen.
And you're living with your boyfriend? Come on. What are you thinking?
I know.
No. Listen,
Planned
Shannon,
Parenthood.
Shannon.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Your life isn't great. You had a bad childhood, all that kind of stuff. All that can be fixed.
But
it can all be fixed.
With a child?
It can all be fixed. But if you crap out a kid It ain't getting fixed. It
Ever.
Just gets transferred to the kid.
Right.
And then the kid calls us in 18 years, and she's crying her eyes out.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
right.
And if I'm here in 18 years, I'm going to be crying my eyes out.
Yeah.
All right,
and
Shannon,
wielding a machete.
You have to use protection.
Okay.
That's step
Very
number
important.
One.
Very important, Shannon, right?
All right. Go to Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
Throw yourself on the mercy of their court. Oh, it sucks having a crappy childhood and a horrible family and all that stuff.
She has nowhere to go.
No, you don't. And it's like you don't trust anyone and no one's going to do anything for you. And it's everything's a disaster. And then you get into radio, you get a little juice, you get a little FU money, and then you start attacking the world.
It's funny how that works.
No, I'm not.
Is that Shannon's plan?
No, I'm saying Shannon.
That's
Shannon's
plan.
What?
I thought you were talking about Michelle. You were talking about Michelle.
Oh, yeah. Michelle, yeah. Yeah, I said juice. Yeah. I didn't mean juice in a sack. I meant juice like, you know, money, power, that kind of stuff. Not the kind of stuff we have to use a straw to poke through the thing.
I have no money.
Yeah, not juice in a box. I meant juice like wattage, not.
Oh, like you have.
Not tropical punch.
Like you have.
That's right.
Oh, and like Shannon has, obviously, or she's going
to
get.
I'll cut you loose right now. I will. I swear to Christ, I'll pick up the phone. Dr. Bruce will be here in 10 minutes. Yes-um.
Yes-um.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
No, sir.
I've had anal sex and I've passed out a couple times.
Okay, Bruce.
There we go.
Buddy. Kathy?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
My best friend from high school, he's a guy, and I'm fixing to go home for winter break, and he's invited me to participate in a threesome with him and his girlfriend.
Oh,
fixing to go home. What, Texas? Where do you live?
Yeah, I'm from Texas.
Mm-hmm. Fixing to go home.
He's invited you to a threesome. I imagine it's calligraphy on parchment paper.
No, it's Texas. It's like you get ride around a barbecue, you know.
No, I'm talking about the invitation.
But I'm saying it's a Texas invitation. You get invited to a barbecue. It's the same. Nah, you know, it's much more casual.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
She's fixing to go see him.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Don't get hung up on my weird.
No, I'm not. That's true.
But
yes.
I guess I'm mostly calling to kind of get outside perspective because right now I guess I'm looking for a reason not to do it.
How about it's going to be hell?
Well, it's threesome with you and another chick?
Yeah.
It's something you want to do?
Well, I mean, like, I've fooled around with him before, and they don't really expect me to do that much with her. Like, I'm not really attracted to women, and she's not really attracted to women. It's mostly...
So
like,
let's cut this through the BS here. You're still into this guy. It's a chance to try to reconnect with him. You're all up in your head about it. I've been invited to the event of the season. Come on. You want to be with this guy again. This is a way to do it, and there you go. And it's not going to feel very good, especially if you're into this guy.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we've never had, like, really romantic, like, involvement. It's always been kind of, like, friendship and then, like,
But listen, when people your age are friends, it's because somebody's into it. And the other one's not responding quite the way they should, and it becomes a friendship.
Who's the chick?
It's his college girlfriend. They've been dating for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That bitch.
And you get to, he gets to have sex with you in front of her?
That's, I guess, what they want.
Figure that might break them up?
I don't think so. I mean, like, they've both been involved with other people during their relationship. Like, she's really open about it.
Yeah, boy.
Just means her stepdad diddled her.
Yeah.
And is...
Better than open. Please don't believe people's BS about that. Oh, I'm so open about sexuality. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Who are you kidding?
And the other thing is he doesn't expect, and she doesn't expect you to have sex with her. Yeah. That's what I thought when I got into that threesome with those two dudes. You know?
Yeah. You thought you'd have sex with neither of them.
No. I mean, I thought, you know, threesome's a threesome. What the, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't realize I'd, you know, get sandwiched that way. Hey,
do you have a name for that?
Hey, Kathy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Yuck. You're probably going to end up having to screw around with her a little bit, and she's going to start messing around with you, and then there's going to be, like, weird feelings. And
she's going to run out of the room screaming, how dare you, feelings.
You're not into this guy?
She is.
Well, she's not really admitting it.
I'm not, like, it's always been something, like, we're bored, and so we end up messing around. It's not like, you know.
You're not attracted to him?
Not really. I mean, he's kind of skinny and lanky, and I don't know.
So if this guy...
Skinny
not,
and lanky.
Hang on. If this guy did not have a girlfriend and declared himself to you, you would just go, forget it.
Yeah, I think it would be, I think it would be a strange kind of relationship.
And why are you so generous sexually that this guy's not really your cup of tea, and yeah, he's got a girlfriend, but what the hell? I'm going back home for a few weeks.
I guess, again, like, it's always been something like when neither of us are dating anybody, we end up fooling around with each other because we have nothing else going on.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, I've got nothing else going on, so...
But what is, I mean, is your self-esteem low?
High.
Or super, are you that confident? No, I mean, is there something you feel is wrong with you, or you don't think guys are attracted to you, or you deserve what you can get from guys?
No, I mean, I think it's just different, because he's like, you know, my best friend. Like, I wouldn't do that with just any
he's your
guy
best
or any
friend.
Couple.
He's your best friend.
Uh-huh.
We gotta get this guy on the phone.
Wow. Your best friend, and it's not weird when you're, you know,
well, I mean, like,
going down on your best friend?
Since we were 12, you know.
Well, that makes it much less weird. Much less weird.
Oh, yeah.
We've sort of explored our sexuality together, you know.
When you were how old?
Oh, gosh, like 16 or something? I mean, not like, we didn't fool around when we were 12.
All right. I don't know. True. Maybe we're just old. Maybe this is it.
This is a new thing.
Maybe it just becomes... I don't know, any port in a storm, or there's no she's known him since they were 12. There's nothing connected to it. There's no energy behind it. It's just like it's like, I don't know, you go into the Burke Williams, you get a massage, you don't want to date the guy, he just feels good, get a little tension release, and then you head home.
All right.
You never go in there.
Well, no, it usually doesn't work that way, and if it does for some people, great. I never see it happening without somebody developing feelings. Just never see it happening.
I know. So she's known the guy for 8, 9 years.
A, maybe
nothing's
this is
going on.
Maybe this is an exceptional situation, or B, maybe we're not hearing the truth.
You know what's going on here? Neither one of them is very hot, so both of them are kind of like, all right, start sucking. I'm going to watch TV. Yeah, that's you know what this is? This is a couple 5.5s hooking up. Well, each one of them thinking they're an 8, though, and seeing each other as a 4, and going, well, what are you going to do? Yes? Let me see if I can get to the bottom of this. This is going to be uncomfortable.
Wait.
She's Kathy. Wait, Kathy's
4.
Got 3?
4.
Oh, okay.
Okay, don't
Kathy.
Get any attention
Kathy.
From guys.
What's that?
It's not as if I don't get any attention from guys. You know, I've had boyfriends. I've had sex with other people.
No. Believe me, there's always... Yeah, I know. There's always someone to have sex with. what do you... describe yourself.
Okay. I'm 5'7". I have brown hair. I weigh 140 pounds, and that's without the man show additive 10 pounds.
No, how dare you? That's the radio adjustment. Hold on.
I'm kind of, like, chunky.
5'7", 140. Drew, what's 2 times 6?
12.
12. And then what's...
Screw it a 9.
What's 12 minus 5?
7.
7, okay. And then 1 plus 1 plus 1?
3.
3, okay. 3.
It's tough arithmetic.
1 times 2, that's...
2.
Oh, that's 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the same as 2.
Yeah.
Okay, and then like 1 times 14 would be 2?
14.
Okay, so it's whatever it was.
It's 1 time.
So if I say like 1 times 20, that's 20.
That's 2.
Well, it's 2.
No, it's 20.
Oh, it's 20. Don't, true.
Okay.
Not all of us hung out that place with the books. Okay. Liberty. So, okay, I got my eyes. So 5, 7, 1, 4. Okay, I have 5, 6, and 21, 30 seconds. So it's getting close. 149. All right, let's get on the phone here. All right, Kathy, and hair color?
Brown.
Okay, you said that. All right, and what would you give yourself? You say you're attractive or semi-attractive, decent?
I guess I'd say I'm decent, semi-attractive. I have large-ish breasts. I have an okay face. I get attention.
All right. All right. But neither one of you is particularly attracted to each other.
Not, like, he likes, you know, skinny, small-chested girls. I like the football player type, you know. We just...
All right. And he's super skinny.
All right, he's really skinny.
All right. Neither one of you is surprised. That's what it is. This what by the way, this goes on every once in a while, Drew.
Yeah.
You'll actually, each one of you thinks you're on a mercy mission. God knows how many of those I've had that have worked both ways.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean?
You thought you were on a mercy mission.
I'm like, yeah, I guess I'll throw her one. And she's like,
what are you going to do?
I can make herself vomit. All right, what are you going to do? Feel bad.
She shudders first.
Yeah.
Right, I'm in.
Yeah, I guess everyone's got to do their time. Yeah, and it's a relative thing. My next guy's going to seem like he's John. Like JFK Jr. compared to Adam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. That's what this is. Neither one of them's that high. And here's the thing. I wanted to talk about this for a while. We haven't spoken about the numbers thing in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about the numbers is and I know, it's trite, and everyone's brought it up before us and all that, but it's an important thing, which is you want your number plus one or two numbers. But you have to be realistic about what your number is. Mm. This guy's thinking, I got a girlfriend and I ain't fat, therefore I got an inflated number. He thinks he's coming in at 8 or 9. And the reality is he's probably more in the 6 range. Her thing is I'm a little bit chunky, so I got a nice C cup going, and there are other guys who want to F me, so I must be a 7.5 or an 8. But listen.
It must be hard as a woman to judge where you sit because guys are all hanging over themselves.
As a guy, your number is pretty much determined by who will have sex with you and what their number is.
But that's pretty much determined by what you're doing in life.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to say, yeah, obviously, yeah, you could extrapolate it down to that. But your number is a guy. I mean, you could go around and say, oh, I got a great job, and I'm great looking, I got a great car, but if you ain't pulling it in, then something's going on.
Right.
All right, so as a guy, really, in a certain sense, your number's determined by the market.
Uh-huh.
It's like women in handbags. Who the hell knows that one's worth $800, that one's $1,500, that one's $60 yeah. or $10. Right, who knows? The same cost of material. No, it's who wants which one the most,
right.
That's what makes... They determine the value. As a guy, the market determines the value, but you determine the value by, all right, you got a good job, you got some juice, you got some money in your pocket, you got a nice pad, you're on TV, you're in a band.
But in the female, it's more of a commodity.
It's difficult.
Everyone needs it.
It's difficult for women because I don't care if you're a Broomhilda.
Yeah.
Not everyone, but there are plenty of guys out there, mostly brothers, who want to have sex with you. And so if you base it on, hey, and we hear this all the time, you know, that chick who's, you know, 3 packs a day and has the devil and angel on each saggy boob. She's like, I don't have plenty of guys coming. Plenty of guys. Yeah. Plenty of scary homeless guys want to have sex with you. Yeah, there's always guys who want to have sex with you, so it's hard to assign yourself a number.
Right.
It's what is the number of the guy who not only wants to have sex with you, but wants to be with
you. But also realize all guys are kind of, they're all good looking to them. If you don't pay attention to where the number's coming in.
Right.
You just sort of look at the physical characteristics, you can convince yourself that attractive guys are into me.
Right.
Therefore, my number must be pretty good.
Well, I don't even think you have to worry about the attractive guy part. You just have to worry about the part where there's plenty of penis coming your way. Yeah. And
at a theater near you.
Here's the other thing, too. You could have attractive guys who would certainly spend the night with you, and they don't call you the next day.
Right.
That doesn't exist in the male world. It's not, well, I banged some hot stewardesses, and then I banged some runway models. If you're drawing them in, your number's high. Mm. If you can get good-looking females, you got a high number. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As a guy.
Yeah.
As a girl, there will... Drew, you're a fantastically handsome man.
Fantastic.
Drew, I mean... Michelle, you like the ladies, but even you would have to admit that Drew is a specimen of a man, yes?
Oh, he's a handsome man.
He's a handsome man, yes?
A fantastic
man. Yes, handsome?
Yes.
He's a fantastically handsome man. And Drew, Drew was, like Troy Donahue growing up in his beach community. He would once in a while throw Broomhilda a bone. And when I say once in a while, we're into the 1600 times, I'm sure. But the point is he didn't give her a ring. You know what I mean? He didn't follow up on it. So good-looking guy will take a few steps down every once in a while just because, any port in a storm kind of thing. Yes. True. It's very... Drew's going to start crying, but it's true. It's true. So you can't go by that as a woman. You have to go by, does he call you the next day? Does he want to start dating? See what I'm saying? Mm. All right. Anyway, assess your number, everybody. Mm. Be realistic about it and realize it varies quite a bit. Mm-hmm. For instance, men, doesn't really, what they look like, not the biggest component. A component,
yeah.
Not the biggest one.
Which is weird.
I know, but thank Christ. Mm. We're going to, you don't want to stop me at any point.
All right. No, I remember, I'll never forget that thing, when you and I were on Roseanne Arnold's show.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the girl? Anka Radakovich was on there with us, too.
Jesus Christ, how do you remember that slut's name?
And...
9 foot woman who wrote a book on anal.
All right. And though that was Tristan Taramina.
All right. Yeah. True. Yeah. What's up?
Hey, memory's kicking in.
Yeah. Kick it out.
And we start explaining this numbers thing to them. And,
yeah.
And you go, like, for instance, Drew and I, we're at a solid six. They go, no, you guys are nine. They go, because that's the point. It's that because we're doing things on TV, you assign us a nine for what we're doing. But in reality, we're a six. They go, no, you're not a six. You're nine. We're like, you can't even separate it out. They couldn't even separate out what we did from what we actually looked
right,
like.
Right, right. You would be a nine if you worked at a rendering plant.
I got a numbers thing. It's called 6 minutes late, guys. We gotta go to
break. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. I got a numbers thing. It's called $10 an hour, loudmouth. Let's take ourselves a little break.
You're so far off there, girl.
I know.
Way off.
Yeah, I know. Closer to seven. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm the one known as the Ace Man. That's my partner, Dr. Drew, over there. Thank you very much. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. But tell you what, we got a lot of show coming up next week. Tell you what, Drew.
Speaking of butt.
A little too much show. tell you, we got Sum 41 coming up. The Donnas, Foxy, Possible Lesbians, and Papa Roach coming in here. Dear friends. Papa Roach, can't remember the guys' names. Great guys. So, good band, great guys. Yeah, Drew? A lot of show, buddy.
We said but, and we have Krista here with to tell us about the douching thing.
That's an info on how a gay men douche. Fascinating. Christy?
Hi, I'm here.
You're 20. We're here, too. What's up, baby doll?
Basically, I am a gay sex Bible, and if you have any questions about how they do it, any processes, positions, anything, I know.
All right.
And well, so, as far as the actual processes for douching...
Yeah, well, slow down.
Okay. Sorry, I'm really nervous.
All right. Now, where are you now? At a hospice?
I'm actually
outside my dorms.
Oh, I see.
Where? University of Washington? Where are you?
I'm actually in the University of Puget Sound, Tacoma.
Beautiful. I think I own some land out that way.
It's really a really pretty campus.
You know where Anacortes Island is?
Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah.
You have land there?
I think so.
You ever been there?
No.
I haven't been there.
Or millionaires. What are you going to do? You have land everywhere.
No, a friend of mine talked me into buying some land over there. I did. Yeah. My dad went over there and visited it, actually. Nice. Yeah. Tell you about that. All right. So, Christy, how do you know so much about gay love?
Actually, it's really hard to explain. It's something that a lot of me and my friends are really into. We actually watch gay porn, and I have books and all sorts of things on it. I'm actually holding one of my books right now called The Joy of Gay Sex.
You know, Adam, I think we've gone through an evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We've woken up, and things have changed.
Yeah.
We're hearing all these new things coming into us.
Are you a lesbian?
No, but actually a lot of women that are into gay porn are lesbians.
We know that. We heard that.
Had this discussion.
A lot of my friends are.
Last night. Yeah.
What does it do for you, though?
I don't... Well, don't really. It's hard to explain. I mean, I find it sexy.
The two guys.
The two guys. Yeah, I'm into two guys.
In the gay porn.
This is a multi-organ.
How do these guys go mainly? They're like really tan and they're shaved, right?
Yeah, I have not actually seen any pubic hair in any gay sex picture ever.
Yeah, they don't like the hair, those fellas.
No.
And they're all tan, and they're, like, smooth. It's almost like they're like seals.
Yeah.
And
you find them attractive, Mary, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, what do you think,
Mary?
A lot of the gay men are very attractive. That's another big part of it.
But see, right. Mary is a...
It's attractive if you don't, like...
Here's the deal. Mary, passionate passion.
You are a woman of great passion, yes? Oh, you're talking about... Oh, no, we're talking about Christy.
Oh, Christy, I beg your pardon.
Christy, you're a woman of incredible passion?
I'd like to be. I'm actually really intimidated, so if... I'm really nervous about it. I haven't even actually ever dated.
What?
All right.
It's built up passion then.
Wow.
This is like...
Are you a lot of woman, Christy?
No, actually, I'm rather small.
Really?
I'm about 5'5", about 115.
Wow. And yet, you've found no takers for your passion?
I've been I don't know if I've necessarily... I've been thinking about this a lot, especially since I've listened to you guys for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out if there was any sort of abuse in my past that might actually make me afraid of men.
All right. Well, let's not jeopardize my boner by talking about that for just 1 minute.
No problem.
Let's get back to the hot gay love that you're so into.
Yeah.
These guys, okay, so now the gay porn, I will not and cannot watch a gay porn without vomiting and vomit coming out of my nose, that kind of vomit.
Well, you're like trying to hold it back and it's spraying.
Yeah, what do they do? I mean, obviously it varies, but... What part do you like? Do you like the anal sex or the oral sex?
I don't know. Anal seems okay, but I normally like oral.
There's you just like oral?
Yeah, I like to watch the oral.
I see. How do they finish in those movies?
Sometimes there's a pull out and, you know, showing the money shot and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I really try and emphasize condom wearing, so... Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, actually just into the condom and stuff.
And you see how demure and delicate Christy is.
Now, Christy...
Now the money shot.
I surmised last night that women who like gay pornography were women who like seeing men degraded. Do you have any feelings of that?
I think there is not necessarily a degradation issue, but there is the feeling of them being on the same level as the woman.
Oh, interesting.
I don't like the feeling of, if I'm going to be with a man, I'm going to have to be the submissive one. Mm. And so if I see two men together, then it feels like it's a much more balanced, a much more loving thing. Even if I know that's not necessarily
right. Why do you feel you have... there are plenty of guys that you don't have to be submissive for.
Yeah.
Why do you feel you have to be submissive?
Well, she means that one's the socket, one's the plug.
I was going to say, do you mean receptive?
Yeah, I don't know. As I said, I've always been very intimidated by, like, myself... being involved in any sort of sexual relationship.
Why? What do you feel? What's the feeling?
I just sort of cringe. I don't know. It's like maybe I feel a little dirty or something. And I don't, I mean, I've had issues with touching just by anyone in general.
And she'd rather watch the gay sex and the money shots?
All right, hold on. Now we're getting down to it. And I also want you to answer our ass prep questions as well. But... Now we got to start asking you. Stepdad, dad, somebody did something. What's up?
I had a really good family. The only thing that I actually recently have been thinking of, and I never really thought it would have any effect on me till now, was when I was younger. There was another boy who was the same age as me who did a little bit of touching and such, especially, you know, sticking his hands down my pants and all that kind of stuff. But that's the only thing I can really think
about. How old were you at the time?
I'm thinking about probably 4 or 5.
How far did it get, do you think?
Not very far because...
the first couple of times, it was just some touching.
Couple of times.
Mom walked in.
Uh-huh. All right, hold on, hold on. Let me say this, Drew. Some people break down for no good reason.
Sure,
on occasion.
The genetic things and stuff. That was
something.
Yeah.
Not enough for most, but if you're sort of predisposed to break down.
Right, right.
All right. So, Christy.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get a little therapy, sweetness.
No.
Yeah.
No,
not for this. I just mean you got to do something.
You need to have a boyfriend. She needs to break it down, break it in.
Yeah.
I've been trying.
I'm actually on a couple of antidepressants right now, and I've tried giving some guys that I thought were kind of nice, you know, my phone number, but nothing has happened yet.
You've never been on a date?
Never been on a date. Never anything real.
Why don't you ask some guys out?
Ooh, yeah.
You're in college. What about your friends? Didn't they set you up with some of their friends?
No, not yet. Haven't had that happen because I normally tell them not to.
Have you ever kissed a guy?
Once on a dare.
On a dare.
This is really
21.
This is where behavior management comes in. This is where
most of our callers are on their third, fourth divorce by this time and have a hysterectomy.
Fifth kid, that's right.
Yeah, 21.
Look, Chris, you need to. If you cannot, you're incapable of sitting and having a relationship with somebody or across a date or whatever. You need to sort of break yourself into this.
Let's start doing it.
You got to make it your job now to get on some dates, spend some time with people, get used to this experience of what that feels like.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then it's the domain of therapy. But all the therapy is going to be doing is giving you support to encourage you to do exactly this.
Okay.
There's not something specific. You're not giving us a horrific trauma history and you're not, acting out with guys. You just have this sort of, you're phobic. I mean, almost like EMDR would be a worthwhile thing for you.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do that. I would just go ahead and get
electric shock therapy?
No, it's eye movement. Thing.
Oh, that
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hey, Christy.
Yeah?
You stop spending Saturday nights watching the director's cut of Ubangus Uranus and hit the road. Go to some frat house. Find some real dudes.
Yeah, you got to make it.
Dudes with hair on, by the way.
And ask guys out. Be a little assertive.
Length in the sack. Ain't going to hurt
you. You're up there the Puget Sound. Come on.
Find some dudes. Yeah, there's guys out there. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, stop watching the tan guys. They're all greased up and hairless. Banging each
other. Okay.
All right, but what is good ass prep?
Okay. As far as the douching, even though many gay men aren't really into the anal sex,
which Adam still has trouble getting over.
It's disappointing, certainly from a comedic standpoint.
Yes.
So pretty much once in every gay man's life, they will have anal sex.
That's interesting.
To try it out.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the North American homo we're talking about,
or the wild.
That's
the free range.
The free range homo or the North American domesticated homo?
Free range.
Okay. So they will, but how do they prep for the inevitable ass encounter?
Just your standard enema is usually the normal practice.
But a tap water enema or a Fleet's enema?
Usually tap water. They want
tap water, high enema.
A little pressure, and you will do that before you head out that night?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, if you know you're going to be having anal sex, they want you to clean out a few hours ahead of time so you know that you're completely clean. Because it's just sort of a whole,
Right. And we're doing the fecal math.
Hey, ask her if she knows who the biggest male adult gay star is.
All right.
Why?
No, Drew, don't say anything. Christy?
Yeah?
Who's the biggest adult male gay star?
I don't know. I watch a lot of really obscure stuff.
Okay.
All right. I like Asian men.
Ooh. Yeah. I saw that whole Why My Parents Are Killing Themselves series. Yeah, that's what they call the Asian porn. Asian dad sees son getting daisy-chained. He falls right on it, Samurai.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not stereotyping at all.
No.
Not at all.
Just stating the facts.
Not at all. But he walks across the rice paper floor. He grabs his ceremonial samurai sword.
That takes too long. He doesn't stand on ceremony.
He keeps a dagger in his kimono.
He falls
right on it.
Yeah.
Falls right on it. Narrowly missing the futon. and landing right on that.
I mean, we're talking about you banging us, Uranus here.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh.
You bang us, Uranus. What is that?
You have disgraced me, my son. Yeah. All right, let's take ourselves a little break.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I kissed a guy on a dare once.
You did?
How was it?
Still rinsing, by the way.
Yeah.
22 years later, can't get the yucky man cootie out of her mouth. Make out with Drew. I'll give you 10 bucks. All right, baby. We'll take ourselves a little break. Drew's game, too.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take a little break. Be right back after this. Love line, madam. That's good old Dr. Drew. Forget about that phone number. Quite true. Papa Roach in here next week. Also the Donnas and Sum 41. I like Sum 41. You ready to go here, Drew?
Here we go.
What's going on?
I think we're introducing. No. We're introducing Sum 41 Sunday.
I think we might be.
Yeah.
Mary?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's just waking up. Look at that. Look at that.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
On hold for 22.
Wow, really?
And not complaining.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Well, wait till she wakes up. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, I was wondering if anorexia affects fertility or your reproductive organs.
It can in many different ways.
Uh-huh.
One is, obviously, when your weight is down, you don't ovulate. It can be difficult to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Another way is people with longstanding anorexia or bulimia tend to be predisposed to what's called premature ovarian failure, where your ovaries are shut off permanently.
Mm.
That happens.
Mm-hmm.
So do you go into menopause then?
Or? Basically, yeah. Basically, that's what happens.
Okay. Do you know how common all that is?
I don't know numbers. I've seen it. But I'll tell you this, if you have bad anorexia, I think you're very significantly at risk for that.
Well, I don't know, you know, it's not too many things that are worse for you. I mean, your body's better off doing heroin, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you should start doing heroin.
Okay.
All right.
Keep that up. Thanks for
good luck. Now, look, Screwball, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean...
why don't you get some help with this if it's that bad?
Why don't I get some help? Is that what you said?
If it's bad enough for you to be worried about your fertility, why aren't you getting help, treatment?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't really, like, have any friends, and I'm all moved out. And I guess there's just not anybody to, like, really tell me that I'm acting messed up. Or
all right, we're telling you.
Yeah.
Here we go.
We'll be your friends.
Let's go. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
We'll be your best friends, baby.
Come on, Mary. Here we go.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Let's get a hand in. Get a spindly arm in.
It's not that big of a deal to me.
It is a big deal.
And, like, I've looked all over for this information. I know some people who wanted to know as well.
Mm-hmm.
So. Well, there you go.
All right. Now, what do you do? Do you work?
Yeah.
What kind of work?
I work at a call center.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
What's that mean?
It means that, you know, like, tech support.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what I do for a living.
And what do you support?
Cellular phones.
Oh, really?
Interesting. Uh-huh.
I thought they outsourced all that stuff.
Yeah, I said that we should have a counter that's like, you know, like where the days flip down where it's like 22 days until my job goes to India or something like that.
Yeah. Hello, how are you doing? That's what everyone sounds like, all these guys. Yeah.
They try and
the mouse is frozen on me. That's a shame.
They try and teach the Indian people to talk more so they sound like Americans, and they to say that their name is Sarah or Michael or really typical American names.
My name is Fred.
Fred.
My name is Fred Johnson.
Yeah,
I grew up in Indiana. They go Hoosiers.
Oh, man. So, you ought to bet. I should probably look for a different career.
No, not all right.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we can make everyone sound like they're from here. Where are you from? Michigan. Oh, do you know Mike? He's a good friend. Yeah, Drew. It's all outsourced, baby. That's what I do. Let's just teach the world to speak without an accent, and we'd be cool.
We would be, huh?
And we'd travel anywhere we wanted. Plus, they wouldn't want to blow us up all the time, because it'd be like blowing them up. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that.
Huh?
All right. You got to outsource. Well, that's a decent job for an 18-year-old,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, 18, I just figured she'd be, you know, bussing dishes or something.
Right.
That's not a bad gig. So you got to get some friends. Mary.
Yeah?
You got to get some friends.
I don't want to, really.
What does that mean?
What's all the depression, baby?
I don't know. Whenever I talk to people, I'm just, like, disgusted with how, like, typical and boring they are.
Yeah. Like, you know, sit next to Drew every night.
Yeah.
I kill myself. Yeah, well, there are plenty of interesting, exciting people. And, by the way, you know, what do you got going? You make $9 an hour and you got an eating disorder. Come on.
Yeah.
You're no prize either.
You're 18.
Yeah, I know.
You're 18.
Come on.
Find somebody. You know what? Find some nice people.
That's your depression talking, Mary. That is the depression. You got to deal with this.
Let me give you guys
treatment for it.
You guys a speech. You need friends. You got to have friends. You got to have buddies. You got to have people that you can laugh with and cry with. They'll take care of you. They'll bail you out. They'll look after you. And you got to do the same.
Most people call that a family, but
yeah,
if you don't have one of those.
I know. If you're like Oliver Twist over here. You got to do that stuff. You really do. And then you got to take care of them.
Yep.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Well, that's the show. Not only the show, but the week. I want to give thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank phone screener Brian for screaming for just seconds when we go back to Engineer Anderson every once in a while in Westwood 2. I want to thank phone screener Ziggy for doing a fantabulous job all week long. I want to thank the magic-fingered one, the Liberace of the potentiometers, Drew, Engineer Anderson.
Woo!
Love him to death. We'll see him this weekend at the big concert. Both be drunk. I want to thank Engineer Chris for doing a fantastic job all week long. I want to thank Junior producer Lauren, who now knows how to turn on the computer. Look at that, Drew. Look out. I want to thank Engineeress Michelle. What a wonderful breath of fresh air blown into the studio each and every night. And I want to thank producer Ann. So, Drew, could you shut up, please?
Does that make noise? Good.
Yeah, you can't hear that. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.